Welcome to Business Game Changers, where you'll hear expert tips on the big issues and the hottest trends to level up your business game. If you're building a career or building a business, this is Must Hear Radio. Here's your host, Sarah Westall.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. Today we have an exciting show lined up. We are going to be talking with Mr. Mike McFadden. He's the Senate Republican, the Senate Republican candidate for the state of Minnesota. And I have been so fortunate to be able to work with such a bright group of students in my management class at the University of Minnesota at the Carlson School, and they came up with issues that are important to them. And we use their questions, and that's what we're going to be giving to Mr. McFadden today to answer. But like I told them, I think it's really important that you keep an open mind and you listen to what the candidates have to say. This is Mike McFadden's view, and I think it's important to look at all the candidates that are out there and see what you think and make your mind up. But it's also important that you get out there and you vote. So today, I hope you're going to listen to this interview and see if you agree with them. If you do, get out there and vote. If you don't, then try to figure out what you do agree with, listen to the other candidates, and maybe you agree with them. But get out there and vote and try to do something with your privilege that you have as a citizen and vote. The second thing that I have going on, which is pretty exciting, is I have a new segment that is called Gear Up for 2015. And what that is I will be bringing different companies or different ideas and different things for businesses to be able to do in 2015 that will make them more profitable or make them more successful or help them get more revenues. I'll also bring in different ideas for your personal business to be more successful or profitable and make more money personally. So first we are going to welcome Mr. McFadden to the show. Hi, Mike. Mr. McFadden, thanks for joining the program. I'm really glad that you decided to do this interview.
Well, Sarah, thank you, and it's a pleasure to have the opportunity to talk to you and talk with your students.
Well, I got to tell you, what I did to get this to figure out what to ask you is I teach a management class at the Carlson School at the University of Minnesota, and we all came together as a class today, like 2 hours ago. And I asked them what their most important issues are. And we came up with a list, and then I had them vote on, it was kind of a crude vote, they raised their hands and things, on what was the most important issues to them. And that's what I'm going to ask you today, and I'm hoping that we can get through most of it for them. But to start off with, this one seemed like one of the most important issues that they had. And this is a question by Adam Wade. He's a junior in business and marketing at the university. He asked, do you think the Republican Party needs to reposition itself on social issues to attract younger voters?
Well, that's a good question from Adam. Sarah, you know, the reason that I decided to run for the U.S. Senate was that I fundamentally believe that we could do better, that we got to get this economy back on track, and that I felt that we needed better leadership, and I want to focus on getting this economy growing. I didn't leave my job now 16 months ago to focus on polarizing issues. Rather, I left my job to get us back onto the path of growth and prosperity. The number one issue I believe in America right now is economic growth. We've had the slowest rebound from a recovery in the history of the United States. And I have a plan to get us back onto that path of growth and prosperity. I call it the three E's: energy, education, and effective government. And I believe by taking advantage of our energy resources, by fixing our education system, especially in the inner city, where I've had a lot of experience, and have seen much greater results than in our traditional inner city school system, and by streamlining government, by having more effective regulations and a more efficient tax code, that we can get this economy growing 4 to 5% a year. And that is so important because we got to create jobs. Well, we have, especially with millennials, Sarah, it is the unemployment rate with millennials 15%.
It's awful.
And the underemployment rate is over 50%. I mean, the kids that are getting jobs aren't getting the jobs that they want.
It's awful. Okay, well, then I'm going to get into this question. This is from Sonia Youngquist. She's a senior in bioproducts marketing and management. How will your management experience building and growing your company help in the Senate?
Well, it's a great question. You know, I've spent the last 20 years not just growing my own business with some great partners, but I advise small and mid-sized businesses on growth. And it's small and mid-sized businesses that are the growth creators in this economy. You know, to give you an example or some data from 2007 to 2010, which was a tough time for our economy. Small and mid-sized businesses actually added 2 million jobs, while large corporations shed 4 million jobs. And it's small and mid-sized businesses that are getting killed by regulation. They're getting smothered by regulation. And I understand that. And I think my business experience allows me to understand, you know, it's the role of the government, Sarah, to regulate. We're just not good at it. You know, we over-regulate. And the amount of red tape that small and mid-sized businesses have to deal with is astronomical. It's really been a drag on our economy. One of the biggest issues in Washington right now is how hyper-partisan Washington has become. Congress, what it has produced over the last decade is horrendous. I mean, nobody thinks Congress is doing a good job.
Well, their approval rates is super low, right?
It's 9%, and I've yet to meet those 9 people, you know. and Sarah, we're all losing as a result of it. Republicans, Democrats, Independents.
Well, this leads me into, and I don't mean to cut you off, but I got to ask another question that leads into that. And this is a question from Leon Pizon, which is a sophomore majoring in English, and it also is dedicated to my dad because there was a big argument between my dad and my husband about this the other night. His question, and I'm going to continue on, is I'm going to add to it at the end, is are you interested in reasonably working with the Democrats? That was his question. But let me add some stats here. Franken has voted with his party over 98% of the time. Democrats vote with their party 95% of the time. And Republicans do it 88% of the time. And this is where my dad comes in. He says it doesn't even matter who you vote for. They're just going to go with their party anyways. So what do you have to say about that?
Well, it's a great question. It's all related. I think the fundamental problem is we've created a professional class of politician, and it's killing this country. And Republicans are as bad as Democrats. I believe in a learn, earn, then serve model that people later on in their careers, after they have real life experience, whether it's in business or as a lawyer or as an educator, that they go to Washington to serve. And, you know, I think you have these people that they've been in politics for 20, 30 years, maybe not in their current role as a senator or a member of the House, but they started out as a city council person and worked their way up. But they don't know anything other than politics. So as soon as they get to office, all they're thinking about is how they get reelected, as opposed to how you solve problems and do what's best for America. And I want to roll up my sleeves and get things done. And, you know, when I was talking about in the last question about Congress has not been able, I mean, their output over the last decade has been horrendous.
Well, especially if they're voting with their party that much, how can there be anything but gridlock?
Well, it's gridlock. And then the other thing is nobody takes responsibility for the outcomes.
Yeah.
I mean, Republicans don't take responsibility. We say we can't get it done because we can't work with the president. The president says, well, I can't get it done because I can't work with the Republicans. But, you know, this is representative democracy in America. We signed up for this form of government over 200 years ago. And by definition, you'll never have one party rule. you always have friction. I mean, that's the beauty of the Constitution, the wisdom of the founding fathers. So we have to change the mindset in Washington. And I believe it's all about leadership or lack of leadership. You know, as a business leader, I've always, you know, I was taught by my dad, and I try to live by this and teach my colleagues to take responsibility for outcomes. And what Congress has produced is horrendous. And I believe I have a skill set to bring parties together. I mean, my job over the last 20 years, you know, I sold businesses. And so I represented one entity and would have to negotiate with the buyers who had a completely different point of view and objectives. And I have 20 years of experience of bringing parties together.
Well, it's true. When you're going to, the buyer and the seller in business negotiations are pretty far apart, right? And if you don't, and this is something I've learned in business, if you don't know how to bring them together, the deal falls through.
That's right. You find, you know, in any deal, there's, you know, there's 10 issues at the end, right, Sarah? And you look at them and there's two or three that you know are going to be really tough. Do you start with those? No. You know, you find the issues that you can build commonality on. You create trust. You create relationship, so that you can then have that trust and relationship to be able to reach compromise and come up with a solution that's not zero sum, but can be a win-win. And I just think that's sorely missing in Washington. And I think my business background, you know, not just in terms of running a business and having that management experience, but actually what I did day to day in terms of negotiating business deals will come in very, very handy and will be a great attribute.
Well, I'm going to continue on with another question that another student had. Aaron Kern, he's a senior in electrical engineering. His question is, what plans do you specifically have to help small businesses grow and develop?
Well, you know, small business, one is I want to streamline regulation. I mean, we have the amount of regulatory red tape that small businesses have to go through is very, very problematic. The other, you know, the most recent example of it is Obamacare. I can tell you going all around this state over the last couple months that small businesses, they have two big issues with Obamacare. One is the regulatory compliance around it that has not been clear and has caused them to have to dedicate more and more employee time to understanding how to comply with the law. But the second piece is the cost of it. They are seeing their premiums go up significantly, anywhere from 20 to 70%. And I was just with a small business in Faribault, 23 employees. They have a 55% increase in their healthcare premium this year.
Well, I know
they can't
afford
it.
I know that. And when I was running my business, I provided healthcare. I had 22 employees, and I, from 1 year to the next, it went up by 36%. And it happened 2 years in a row. The second year it happened, I called up the person and I said, this either has to change or everyone in my company is losing healthcare because I can't afford this. And I negotiated and did all the things I needed to get healthcare back, you know, and I also switched companies a bunch of times and whatever I could do to keep that from going up. But you're absolutely right that raising healthcare costs is something that small businesses just can't handle. But anyways, keep going.
One of the number one source of new high-paying jobs, new businesses in Minnesota has been in the medical device industry. And what you've seen is a significant decrease in the number of new starts in the medical device business because of a combination of cost and regulation. I mean, the regulatory approval process to get a medical device product to market has elongated tremendously. And now, not only do you have this long review process that is doubled in time, but once you're one of those few businesses that actually gets approval and you're out selling your product, the medical device tax kicks in. And the medical device tax, Sarah,
wow,
is on revenue. It's not even on profits. It's on revenue.
It's
so
awful.
You know, I just think it's very short-sighted that some of these politicians, they don't have business experience. A lot of times I question how much common sense they have. And you know what, they always have good intentions. But the outcomes, I mean, the medical device tax has clearly become a job killer in Minnesota and across this country. So I believe that, you know, small and mid-sized businesses are the bedrock of our economy. I mean, it's our entrepreneurial zeal. It's our culture of being creators and risk takers, which truly has made the United States and America great and made us unique. And I'm worried that we're losing our edge there. And,
the stats that I've seen, and I've done a show on this, is small businesses are at historically the lowest number it's ever been in starting of small businesses across this country.
That's right.
And why is that?
Well, you know, I think it's become much more expensive to do. You know, the regulatory environment has made it much more expensive to start a new business. And, you know, we just gave the example of medical device. I mean, if the average time to get a product approved through the FDA 10 years ago was, you know, 18 months, it's now 48 months or something along those lines.
What I found running my business, you either have to be super small where you have no overhead, or you got to be really big, because that middle ground where you start having overhead and you start having all these expenses, it just kills you. You can't. It's very, very hard.
I agree.
And if you have any legal issues, you're done.
No, you do. You do. And what I've seen, I call it big business, big government cronyism. You know, let's use the medical device industry again as an example. You know, Medtronic and St. Jude, which I have, you know, a tremendous amount of respect for those companies and their management teams. They're screaming about the medical device tax. They would like to see it gone yesterday, but they'll be just fine. They have large infrastructures. They pass along those expenses to you and I, the patients. But in many respects, it creates a barrier to entry. You know, who really gets harmed is that next Medtronic, First St. Jude that is getting started in someone's basement or garage. It's just become a lot more expensive to get a business off the ground.
Yeah. Well, okay, I have another question. This is from Zach Brower. He's a senior majoring in economics. What is the kernel of truth, or is there any, in the plant closure accusation in the ads? There's those ads where your company can you specifically?
Not my company.
Yeah, can you specifically?
I'll be very specific here. Let me be general and specific. I am so disappointed in Al Franken for resorting to typical negative, false attack ads. The one about the mill closing in Montana, that was a bankruptcy. It's publicly disclosed documents. The company that my company, which I ran, which is Lazard Middle Market, which I'm very proud of. I'm very proud of my business background. We weren't involved in that transaction. And Al Franken, the company that was involved by the name of Lazard Frere, Al Franken actually owned stock in that company.
Oh, really?
He owned stock in that company.
He actually owns the stock. What was the company he owned stock in? The one
Lazard Frere. It's the ultimate parent company. And the business that I ran for 20 years is called Lazard Middle Market. And, you know, incorporated in the United States, pays taxes in the United States, headquartered in the United States, not involved in this Montana transaction.
So you weren't involved in all. You didn't even come in after the fact, though, and buy the company or anything?
No, and my business doesn't buy companies in the first place. I mean,
you weren't even involved at all, like nowhere in the process ever.
And so, Minnesota Public Radio, NPR, and KSTP immediately came out with their fact check and said these ads were patently false. And I got into this race because I believe fundamentally we can do better. We have to do better as a country. And Al Franken, in 2008, when he was running against Norm Coleman, participated in what I believe to be the ugliest, dirtiest campaign in the history of Minnesota. That was such an ugly campaign And it became a race to the bottom. And I made a commitment when I got into this race that I'm not running negative ads. You should see the ads that the political pros want me to run against Al Franken.
Oh, I can imagine.
I won't do it. I won't do it. I won't put my name on that. I will not do it. And I believe fundamentally we can do better. And I believe that Minnesotans are so tired of this. And Al Franken once again tried to engage in this and once again get into a race to the bottom. And I'm just not going to do it.
Well, I got to throw in a little laugh here because I think the Stuart Mills one where I think those are backfiring, but he was – They're saying now they're backfiring, but he was walking along the deck going onto his boat, and they have this.
Sure.
You have to admit it was comical because it was so bad.
It was comical, but it's not funny.
I was actually upset that they would go that low, but it was a funny ad.
No,
keep going.
You know, Sarah, the hypocrisy.
It was awful.
Whether it's from Al Franken's camp or it's from. What's going on with Stuart Mills with the Nolan camp. You know, the hypocrisy there with Nolan. Here's the party that brought you the bullying act. And what do? They're making fun of someone's hair.
Yeah, that's awful.
It's just fun. You know what else? You know, why we're talking about it, I got to get something off my chest. Because it really, I hope your students have seen the ad with my daughter in it. I have one daughter. I have five sons. We have six kids. My daughter Molly's 17 years old. I'm really proud of her. When I announced my run for the U.S. Senate last summer, we released an ad on the internet. She was in it. Within 24 hours, the other side had an attack ad against me with my daughter in it.
Oh, really?
That is wrong. It's just wrong.
What were they claiming with your daughter in it? I don't understand. How could they abuse you?
They took her video, of the ad that we ran. They took it out, changed her words, and had him parrot words back and forth, and parodied her. And we have to stop this. We can't allow this to continue to happen.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, the dumbing down of politics and it. I fundamentally believe we need better people running for office on both sides of the aisle, people with real life experience, because we have such large issues in this country.
The issues are big. Healthcare
needs to be fixed. $18 trillion of debt. And look, I jump into this race and within 24 hours, they have my daughter in an attack ad. Who in their right mind would get involved? And that's why I believe that Amy Klobuchar wouldn't do that. I really do. I don't think she would have anything to do with something like that. But Al Franken and his camp, I am so disappointed in the way that they have run their campaign. And I just have not participated in it, and I won't participate in it.
Yeah, I'm pretty disappointed in some of those ads, too. And I'm actually disappointed. The only connection between that closure was the fact that that company shared the same name, beginning of a name with yours, and so they jumped to the conclusion that it was your company? Oh, that's really bad. How come they didn't pull the ad? Why is the ad still on the air? Because I just saw it last night.
First Amendment rights.
Oh, jeez.
You know, unfortunately, in politics, you can say whatever, the candidates can say close to anything they want.
Gosh. Okay, well, that's awful. Let me move on, and this is one of the students in my class, and we unfortunately did not get his name assigned to this, and so I don't know who said this. So what I'm going to do is dedicate this to my son Gabriel and his friends who are all graduating from high school this year. They're all seniors, and they all care about this. Franken has been talking about consolidation of student debt. What are your plans on dealing with the college debt issue, considering that those are the one loans that nobody can do anything about those?
Sure. No, it's a huge issue. There's something like $1.2 trillion of student debt. It's a big issue. I want to try to help these students. I got three things. One is we need to address the rising costs of higher education. College has risen at the cost of college has risen at 2.5 times the rate of inflation over 25 years. Just wrong. I mean, and what we need in college is more transparency. I, you know, Sarah, as you have students that are children are going to be going into college. I have 3 college age students. It is so non-transparent. It is so opaque. Nobody knows what the cost of college will actually be until they've already been accepted. They get the financial aid. I mean, there's a wholesale price and there's a retail price. And I think we're going to have to do a lot better job with transparency in terms of what the actual cost of college is. The other thing is I think colleges should have to disclose what their job placement rate is by major and what the average salary is by major.
Right now it seems like this big, because my son's in the middle of it, and it seems like this big marketing campaign by all these colleges, and it's just – I'm sorry, I'm a business person, so when I see this, it really makes me think, gosh, college is just a big business.
It's a bad process, and he won't get the actual true cost until late in the fall when he gets his financial aid package.
Yeah.
And but so that means more transparency. And then as he makes that decision, it'd be nice to know at that school if I want to major, you know, whatever I want to major. Here's what it's actually going to cost. And here's the likely outcome. Here's what the job placement is, and here's what the average salary is. So that's one. Two is, I would like to see students be able to refinance their debt at market rates. I'd like to see that happen.
Yeah, because why is that being restricted now? I just don't understand.
Well, because there's cost associated with it, so you have to figure out how to pay for it.
Well, I know, so the government is restricting it because there's costs associated with it.
Well, think about it. I mean, these students are out there without jobs. I mean, they have to have collateral to get, you know, when you say a market-based rate.
But every single other loan in existence can be renegotiated. Why can't this one? You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, and I do know what you're saying, and I'd like to see them be able to be refinanced at market rates. But there is a cost to the government right now regarding the refinancing of that, and I want to be able to pay through it by weeding out waste. The government, you know, as a businessman, I look at the government. It's a business that spends right now $3.5 trillion a year, $3.5 trillion. That's their budget.
Yep.
So, but the third piece, in addition to refinancing those loans, the third piece, and I think the largest piece, is we've got to get this economy growing again so kids can get jobs. I mean, you know, we talked about it earlier, and I'm going to have to close on this comment, Sarah, because I'm running into an event here that we're running up to. But this economy has been absolutely stagnant for 6 years, and there is, unemployment rate with millennials is 15%. The underemployment rate is above 50%. You know, those lucky enough to get jobs aren't getting the jobs that they want. We got to get this economy growing. I know how to do it. I have a plan through energy, taking advantage of our energy resources. Low-cost energy will allow us to be a manufacturing superpower again in this country. We'll be able to insource high-paying manufacturing jobs as opposed to outsourcing. I will bring efficiency to government. We'll streamline regulations and taxes so that we become much more efficient. That will drive economic growth and create jobs. We have to create jobs. That's the number one objective that we have in front of us over the next foreseeable future. And the kids in as I go around this state of ours and I talk to kids at the University of Minnesota or at St. Thomas or UMD or St. Cloud State, they want jobs and they're really, really concerned. And I know how to get us back onto that path of growth and prosperity. I'll get this economy growing again. And that is, I'm excited to do it. I'm a problem solver. I'm going to go to Washington. I'm going to roll up my sleeves. I'm going to work across the aisle to get things done. And I look forward to joining Amy Klobuchar. And I respect her. I respect her work ethic. I respect her intellect. And I really look forward to sitting down with her, her colleagues, my colleagues on the Republican side, and getting this economy jump-started. So, Sarah, it was It was great to have the opportunity to spend some time with you this afternoon. Good luck to all your students out there and all your listeners.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Good luck to you, too.
All right. Bye, Sarah.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Well, that was an exciting interview. He has a lot of energy and a lot of information to share with us. And I guess now you just have to make up your mind on whether it's something that you agree with. One thing I want to say is that when we were offline, he was talking that the things that he found that students were the most interested in are just the job issues, that kids today coming out of college are underemployed by over 50%. And so it's a major issue for them. What I found in my class was they care about that, but they also really care about the social issues. Mr. McFadden didn't really want to talk about the social issues, and I guess I don't blame him, because it tends to be what others focus on to get people sidetracked. And so you have to make up your mind on whether it's the most important thing for you or not. But I got to tell you, the economy, just being a business person myself and talking to all the different business people and talking to retirees and talking to kids coming out of college, the job issue really is a problem. I don't know what they're going to do about that, but they really need to fix that. Businesses are struggling. I know that the Minnesota economy is doing better than it has, but the overall economy, jobs are still very stagnant since the depths of the recession, and they just haven't added very many jobs. And the number of small businesses that are starting is at the lowest level ever recorded in our the history of our country. So we have a problem with our economy. So what I would say is we need to look at what candidate is going to solve some of those problems, and we have some really doozies sitting out there. Okay, so the next segment I have, I hope you stick around and listen to that. I'm going to be talking to the CEO of Green Rope. His name is Lars Helgelson, and his company is interesting. They create software to help integrate all the social media, the web, to help bring it all into one platform for you and to help you generate more revenue and to help streamline your business from that perspective. And what really attracted me to him, or not to him, but to his company and to his platform, is I was reading different reviews and looking for different ideas. And there was an independent study done on his particular platform on the return on investment that companies get for using his platform. And they have found that customers that have used his platform have, on average, had a 75% revenue increase by using his stuff and by following and by streamlining their business with his products and services. The incredible part is for most small businesses, it's only $169 a month, yet you're going to be increasing on average your revenue by 75%. So we need to welcome Lars to the show. Hi, Lars. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. I was pretty excited to have you, because after reading about your company and seeing the things that you do, I think that our listeners here can really benefit from that. And so I decided to have you as our first guest for how to improve your business for 2015 and how to gear up for 2015.
Well, thank you. I'm honored to be here, and hopefully I can contribute a little bit that can help some of your listeners.
Well, yeah. Well, first of all, you know, I've had different guests talk about social media and how powerful it is and how you can use that to really take advantage of grow your business. But I think it's very confusing, and I think with the networking and the email, and I think people are just really bogged down with a whole bunch of stuff, and it's very disorganized and so forth. And I think you have a solution for people to manage that and to really harness the power of the internet. Can you speak about what your business does and, you know, what the name of your business is Green Rope. So if you want to talk about that a little bit and what your business does, that would be really great.
Sure. Yeah. And, you know, the problem that you described is a pretty common one amongst most small to mid-sized business owners. A lot of times people are struggling trying to keep all their data, figured out. You know, you've got some data in a spreadsheet. You may have some information in an email program. You may have information in all kinds of different things. And so what we want to do is help simplify that whole problem. So if you put everything into one system, it really removes the need for you to go out and grab data from different parts of your business and make them work together. And so that's kind of where we came up with the idea about GreenRope. So that if you could use a single platform to combine all of these different functions together, then you'd be able to more easily and more efficiently run your business. You wouldn't have to be searching around for where does this data go? Where did I store that? How do I import or export this? Everything is all done in one, and that's the idea behind why we use the word green rope. Green for revenue and sustainability, and the rope because many strands make a rope strong. And so the more strands you connect to the green rope concept, the more powerful your business. So what we really want to do is make it so you can do your social media, your websites, your email marketing, your blogs, managing all of your meetings and phone calls, everything in one system. And so by simplifying the way you do business that way, you can run more efficiently and focus on actually growing your business.
Well, what do you mean by functions? What functions are you integrating?
So, you know, most of the marketing and operations functions and sales all kind of, they all play together. You're all collecting information that each of them are going to want to use. So for us, we see email as a very common communication method. Of course, social media is another one. Some companies use SMS or MMS or phone calls to integrate or to interact with their clients and their leads. And so what we want to do is pull all those together. And so when you do that, it's easy. It's much, much easier to actually do your outbound communications. It's also a lot easier to measure the effectiveness of those communications. So if you can see in real time what's happening with the lead, you can see when they're opening their emails, when they're visiting your web pages, and you can personalize all of these interactions. And then you can also see when they call, you can see when they initiate a chat on your website, if they fill out a support ticket, if they attend events. All of that information is all tied together in one single platform. And so the idea of having one place to look for that makes it a lot easier, so a business can just log into one system. They don't have to worry about, is my information about this particular lead or contact hidden away in this one particular piece of software? And so that's what we try to do, is simplify that whole process.
And one thing that I thought was really interesting is you had an independent study done a few months ago where they determined that an average customer will increase revenue by 75% in the first 12 months. How did you go about doing this, and how do we know it's real?
Yeah, so it was an independent study done by a company that does market research, and they interviewed a bunch of our clients. I think they 20-something of our clients, 20, 30 of our clients, and they did that with a bunch of different other marketing automation and CRM companies to see if there was actually an impact in the way they did business.
Can I hold off for a second? What is CRM, just so the listeners understand?
Good question. Customer relationship management.
Okay.
So it's sort of a buzzword that's becoming more and more popular these days as companies realize that it's more and more important for them to keep their customer relationship information all stored in a system. So there are a lot of different CRM companies out there. We call what we do complete CRM, in that it's a single platform that does all of these, that manages all the different ways that you're managing your relationships. So,
getting back to that study, mm-hmm. You had a 75 customers had an average of a 75% revenue increase. What you were starting to talk about that, and I rudely interrupted, but I had to tell I had to clarify that. So go ahead and please complete that.
Sure. Yeah. And so a lot of it is really running more efficiently and knowing who to really follow up with. You know, most companies have many, many leads in their pipeline that really aren't going to pan out. And so what you want to do is distinguish between the wheat and the chaff. And by having a lot of data around all of your interactions with somebody, you can determine mathematically whether they're a good lead to follow up with or not. And so when your sales team, or if it's just one person, if you're the only person doing sales, when you can see all of that information in real time, you can see who you should be following up with. So the people that are most interested in your product or service are the ones that are most likely to convert. You focus your energy on those, and that makes you much better at sales, and that helps you grow your business.
Well, that sounds like a good thing. But your prices are pretty affordable too. It starts at $129 a month. So for a small company, I built and ran a company, and so I know something like this would be something I would have been looking into. $129 a month, and yet you can increase your sales revenue by 75% on average. So it's a really good investment for people who do not have a system like this in place, or who have one that is just not functioning well. They should really look into doing something like this. The one thing I did talk to you about before was MailChimp and Constant Contact, which is very popular email marketing campaigns. Does your system also do that for people?
It does. And you know, there's a big difference between an email marketing platform and a CRM. The email marketing is all based around the idea of building a newsletter or blasting it out. And the way relationships work these days, they're much more personal. Most of us get so much email every day that we can bombard people with lots of email about our product or service, and chances are it's going to have less and less of an impact over time. What we want to do is measure the impact of all of these different communication methods on our growth of our business, so we can focus on the things that really matter. So it may be that there's a more effective way of communicating with people in your business, whatever channels that you might be using. But if you're only storing that information in an email marketing program, you have no idea what impact that has on the rest of your business. And it's very difficult to measure how that email marketing data can be useful for that business.
Well, and what I think people have to do with when they're using Constant Contact or MailChimp is they have to load all those. They're constantly loading data from another application, and there isn't communication between the two, and it becomes kind of a nightmare, right? I mean, that's what bogs everybody down, is there's just so much detail and crap that you have to do.
Absolutely. And we started in that space. We started as an email marketing company 14 years ago and learned from talking to our customers that for things to work more efficiently, for them to really get the benefit, they had to know what impact that email marketing data was actually having on their business. So that's why we created the system that we did, so that you can go from just a simple email marketing program, you can upgrade to something that really helps you run your whole business, helps you understand what works, what doesn't work, and has all the information together in one place.
Well, I think that's really great. I what I've read about you in some of the reviews is that for the investment, you're the best return on investment. And I think that companies that are looking for something that'll really give them a really good return on investment, they should at least check you out and check out CRM systems. And yours being rated so high on return on investment, I think you're a great place to start. So I want to thank you so much for coming onto the show and really helping people. Help me kick off the getting ready for 2015.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. I'm happy to be a resource for you and anybody else that's in your listening audience.
Well, thank you very much, and I will have your contact information on this radio show. So if anybody wants to call you or get contact with your company, they will be able to see it on our show.
Great, thank you.
Okay, thank you much.
As you heard, Green Rope has some pretty good services to offer, starting at $129. I think I misspoke earlier. I said $169. It's really $129, so it's a better deal than what I said earlier. At 75% plus increased revenues the first year that you use their services, it seems like it could really be good for a lot of small businesses. Plus, if you're still in the dark ages on as far as the internet goes and you don't have a website or you don't really use it well to attract customers or to do anything that way, I really think that it's a good idea to look into something like this. So in closing, I want to say thank you very much to Mike McFadden and to Lars Hengelson for talking with me today. And I just hope you all have a wonderful day.